Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Testing, testing, hot out, bound car, 1, 2, 3, 4, testing. Hey, boss, you know, Ralph, I'm getting a little nervous out here. I don't know how you can keep so calm back there.
Get ready. 10 seconds. 5 seconds. Go.
Hey, I can't find nothing on the radio. Yo, turn to that station.
Your one definition of a friend is someone who's there when you need him. Well, I needed him and he's here. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Elton
Jim.
Good morning, Elton Jim.
Elton Jim.
The one, the only, Elton Jim Toronto.
I'm back. Hey, good morning to you. Jim Toronto with you here, filling in for David Plyer this morning. We'll be here till 5 a.m. It's 2:13 right now. I don't want to say anything about Roger and his elongated newscast.
What time did you start the news?
Hey, that wasn't my show.
People instigate.
Okay, you're supposed to edit. But I, from what I saw in the newsroom earlier today, you really have a problem with editing. 300,000 words.
That's the written word.
Wow.
This is the spoken word.
Oh. 300,000. You know what? I'm not even going to mention to people what that is. But
oh,
in
they
the,
know.
Oh, they know
regular
about your 300.
I'm working on my book.
Yeah. 300,000 words, folks. Yeah. I think if you, I don't think the Bible has 300,000 words in
a dictionary.
If you took all of Hemingway's books and added the words, I don't think they add up to 300,000.
I made up some.
But Roger Badish, clearly, and as he said, the best part, and counting.
And counting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, welcome back, Mr.
Well, yeah,
Toronto.
You know, I thought I changed my phone number.
Yeah.
Because
I did try calling a few times.
Well,
nothing,
I don't
no
know.
Answered.
I've been home, believe me, 24 hours a day. My goodness. Yeah, I haven't been on since Christmas Eve, or no, New Year's Eve. So I've got my day planner out, and we will go day by day so I can get everybody caught up. Ah, but you know what? Before we start all of that,
listen to that. I was wondering
nonsense.
What was playing.
Some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, you ain't gonna see no unicorn. Now Noah was there to answer the call. Mm. He finished up building the ark just as the rain started falling.
And
it gave him pain. Oh, I think you're the wrong verse. Well, we all learned that song. That's the only verse I know because it's the only one that Dr. Lester Fisher played on Ray Rayner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he never played
God,
more
that's
than one.
So long ago.
Yeah, you know, he played the one first verse.
Right.
So that's
right,
the only one I ever learned.
Well, they had time. They had time limit on.
Are these the Irish? What band was this? What group was this? The Irish
Rovers.
The Irish. I don't know. Was it the Irish Rovers?
I don't know.
Yeah? I thought maybe it was them or the Chieftains. No, but I think it was the Irish Rovers. But anyway, let me start out the morning by saying, Sappy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Yeah.
And everybody says, Jim, why are you yelling at us? Because I'll tell you why I'm yelling at you. Because none of you are sleeping. If I know my Irish friends, not only are they still up, they've already got their first hangover of the day. They're not working on one. They're already doing the bed spins. Yeah, they've already got the headaches.
Jim's yelling because he's been drinking out of the Green River.
Oh, a little CCR for you with a little Green River. How's that?
No, what?
Oh, gosh, sharp as a tack. Haven't been on for 3 months and still sharp as a tack. But anyway, wanted to say, welcome. I'm going to be called Elton Old Jim today. And I've got Roger O'Badish with me in the newsroom. And we've got Curtis O'Connor. cook. Cock, cook. What is their name?
Coke.
The Coke brothers. The Coke brothers.
McCook.
Curtis O'Cook. McCook.
Let's call him McCook.
Like the Coke brothers. Right? Coke. You're not one of them, are you? Oh, sure, regarded. They'd probably kick you out of here if they were. But anyway, sure. Boy, this guy really had an Irish... I think I learned my Irish brogue from this song on the Ray Rayner Show. With Dr. Lester Fisher. That's right, Ray. Well, here comes a South African python, Ray.
As Ray goes running off stage.
Bye-bye. Bye. But anyway, so happy St. Patrick's Day to you. I was surprised to find out that the Chicago parade was on Saturday.
Right?
I mean, what the hell was that?
Because Sunday,
today is St. Patrick's Day.
Sunday's a day of religion.
I understand that, but today is St. Patrick's Day. I know everybody has to get drunk and get off their hangovers before Monday to go to work. But the parade could have been on a Sunday. Don't you love a Sunday parade?
But if the parade was on Sunday, that's less time to be imbibing.
I understand that.
So they got the parade out of the way.
Well, here's a little novel idea. How about a little self-control for once? But I understand that on the South Side, they know how to do it.
Because
the South Side parade is today.
Oh, it is? I thought it was
Yeah, it's
week.
Noon today.
Oh,
they
okay.
understand the calendar.
I gotcha.
Not like... This is why Chicago's broken. Which candidate that's running for mayor is going to have St. Patrick's Day parade on St. Patrick's Day? That's the one I'm voting for. Lori, if you're going to do it next year, you better have it on St. Patrick's Day, or I'm going to vote for Tony.
How many? Do you think both of them would be in the South Side parade today?
I don't know. If they want some votes... They've only got a couple of weeks.
That's right.
Oh, sure, and Brigada. So anyway, I was saying before, I don't even have any green clothing.
I noticed that.
I looked in my closet. I don't, and what's ironic is this, everybody says, Jim, your last name is Toronto. What the hell are you talking about St. Patrick's Day for? Well, I'll tell you what it is. Because I believe I was right with you. I'm half Italian, half Polish. My mom was all Polish. My father was all Italian. Or so... I thought.
Uh-oh.
Ah,
did
yes.
Did you do one of those DNA things?
I certainly did, Roger O'Baddish. This is the first Irish Jew we've ever had on the show.
Thank you.
And so...
Irish by marriage.
Ah, right. So, sure enough, I do the DNA test, and it came back for the most part what I expected.
Okay.
42%. Eastern European and Mediterranean, which would account for the Italian side, and 40% Eastern European, which is the Polish side. But if you add 42 and 40, sure enough, you get to 82.
Wait a minute, let me check that.
Yeah. So there's 18 floating around. There's 18 chromosomes. There's 18% chromosomes just floating around. Yeah. Saying, where am I? What about me? I'm not Italian. I'm not Polish. What am I? Well, sure enough, I... can say to you, Roger O'Baddish, that there's a poison. Me and you, Roger, we are both of the same heritage.
Are you in the tribe?
Because I've got 3%, my friend, of the Jew. So there is a poison here and a poison in the newsroom. We are both of the Jewish persuasion. Even though you might have more of the genetic Jewish in you, I can say that I've got 3% of me. Plus, I talk a lot with my hands and I love pastrami. So that is why. And I love to talk Yiddish. Naches to you, my friend. Naches to you.
Naches. Just be careful.
So I found that out. And sure enough, there was something good. I 3% Jewish, 2% was English, Great Britain, which is great because I love Britannia. And sure enough, one giant whole percent of my heritage I have now found after years of ignoring and even scorning St. Patrick's
Day. That voice inside of you that had been crying out for these decades.
Enough of this St. Patrick stuff. Now I embrace my Irish root. It's
root.
Not even roots. I can't even pluralize it because it's so small. But I embrace now my Irish root.
Don't blink.
And be careful. You won't see the shamrock go by. And ironically, I don't have any green, as I said, green alligators or long-necked geese. But here's the thing. Not only am I 1% Irish, but I went to St. Patrick's High School in Chicago on the northwest side. On Belmont
Green?
On Belmont in Austin. And so I went to St. Patrick's High School for 4 years, and I do remember now. I was looking all in my, you know, in my drawers, no pun intended, in my upstairs closet,
no drawers, okay.
Everywhere. Yeah, well, those are green. But then every two or three days, they suddenly became white again. But so I now remembered, even on my way in, I said, how could I not have any green? I've got these beautiful blue eyes. The green would go perfect with my with my eyes. But then I remembered, I played football.
Ooh,
at St. Patrick's.
Uniforms.
I've got me varsity jacket. You know, with the with the leather, with the, you know, the varsity high school jacket the leather sleeves.
Yeah.
And on the, even though this, and it's a beautiful jacket, which I still have. I still have, and I think it still fits.
Okay.
So it's green.
Yeah.
But it's got very cool. It's got black.
Ooh.
Leather sleeves.
Nice. Not,
but our colors were green and gold.
Right.
So it was green, and on the back, it's got the big shamrock. I should have worn my jacket today.
Yeah, goofy.
Maybe if I go out today, I'll wear that. But then I remembered also, I played baseball, too. I've got my SP baseball hat, which is green.
Look at you.
So I think, even though at now it's 2 a.m., no one will see me or care anyway, so I'll be able to sneak out in the dark. But if I do go out today, I will take out my St. Patrick's High School varsity jacket and wear my St. Patrick's baseball hat and be proud once again and embrace and now live up to my name of Elton O'Jim with my 1% of Irish blood that is boiling through my veins.
Well, something's boiling.
Ah.
now, I just don't... My
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. We're looking at the clock here.
Do we have to.
I gotta take a quick. I gotta take a quick break here, and we'll be back. We're gonna continue with more of this exciting DNA.
I outgreen you.
Oh,
and I have less.
You mean an experience?
1%
Less than 1%
I've got three green shirts and a green tie.
Hey,
I'm
Lord!
A green shirt.
I got the three green shirts
and long neck tie.
It's Elton Jim Toronto here, welcoming you to St. Patrick's Day here at WGN 7:20 a.m. I'm filling in for David Plyer. We'll be back after this. No switching. Ha ha! The land of my upbringing. I'm a 1%er, you know, in terms of Irish.
Yeah, you get a 1% of the sod. That's it.
And you know, Roger O'Badish, not only does Jim, Elton O'Jim, 1% Irish, I've not only went to St. Patrick's High School here in Chicago on Belmont and Austin on the northwest side, but I've been to the Emerald Isle. I've been to Dublin, and I've been to Belfast, and I've been to County Cork.
Look at you.
So look at me.
Yeah.
And I don't...
out of every spot, too. I mean, what?
My family couldn't get along with anyone. But anyway, we will be going up into, right up into the news here, but I did want to say that if you stick around after Roger O'Badish and the news, we're going to be talking, as I said before, with Carl and Lisa in the crosstalk. We'll be talking about the Chicago Cubs. I what you say, Jim? Elton O'Jim, what you been up to for the last 2.5 months since you were last on the air on New Year's Eve?
Hiding in his room.
Last time I was on, it was still 2018.
Yeah?
Well, what I did have is a letter printed in the Chicago Tribune.
Oh, look at that.
Here in Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
But, yeah, so we'll talk a little bit about the Cubs. I had a letter printed talking about the Cubs taking
letter?
Their games off. Seven.
No. A, B, C, D.
Beta.
Beta.
I do the Greek alphabet.
Thank you.
I'm multicultural. I'm diverse. That's what they're telling me. Jim, you got to be more diverse.
Yeah.
So I'm Irish.
I'm diverse. I added 15 pounds.
Oh, hi-o. Go to the Slauson cutoff. Cut off your Slauson.
I'm sorry.
Seven people are laughing at that joke right now.
I'm three of them.
The seven that get it. And the 11 who are up and listening.
Hello.
But anyway, you know, old Roger.
Yeah.
I'm still in the old-time radio mood.
That's right.
After those two. But, yeah, we've got other things to talk about. I want to talk about a recent trip that I went to. Talk about Toronto's travels. I was in New York for a couple of days, obviously, going to see. Why else would I go to New York? I saw a couple of Elton John shows.
Mm-hmm.
Number 191 and 192 in the ongoing countdown.
You're getting close.
Yeah, I'm getting close to the big 200.
Yeah.
But I was only there for 2 days, but I was really had some interesting celebrity close encounters. So I will tell a few of those stories. All and right. Just so you know, if you're going to try to text in, apparently Curtis the... Curtis O. producer says that our text line isn't working tonight,
what?
Right?
Yeah,
they didn't pay the bill? What's going on?
I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah,
the text line is not up and running right now. So if you want to come in and chime in on the show, you have to call in.
Oh, my God. Like, that is like so, like,
2017.
Like 20th century. Calling on the phone? Talking to people one-on-one? Oh, my gosh. Can they even allow that? Are there phones here anymore? Oh, there are.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Just
wait. Let me look at it.
He's blowing off the cobwebs.
Blow the dust off of it. Yeah. But, yeah, if you want to use that, 312-981-7200. We can do it the old-fashioned way. We can earn it. Once again, three people got that joke. They're laughing hard.
I'm one of them.
There you go. Well, Roger, if it wasn't for you,
I'm older.
None of my jokes would land. Curtis is looking at me like, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know why he's on, and I don't know why people think he's funny. But someday I will appeal to the 20-year-olds.
Yep.
When I'm gone.
When they're 60.
Yeah, when they discover all these tapes. Why didn't we listen to him when he was alive? It could have been fun. Look at this. Phone's ringing.
Holy smokes, one ringy dingy.
How about one ringy dingy, two ringy dingy. There's another seven people who know that joke. You know, Roger, we got to start making references into at least the 1980s.
I'll work on it.
So far, all the references have been in the 60s. But we will have fun for the next couple of hours. Jim O. Toronto, filling in with you. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Filling in for David Plyer. We'll be here till 5 a.m. But right now, it is about 2:32. We'll see just how long Roger can edit himself on this newscast. Here he is, Roger Obadich.
Sure, tis like a morn in spring in the lilt of Irish laughter.
And good morning. Welcome to Elton Jim Toronto, filling in for David Plyer this morning. Your WGN, it's 2:38. Going by the moniker today of Elton O. Jim, because we're all a little Irish today. I've got newsman Roger Obadich with me. And producer Curtis O. Coke. As in County Coke. So,
that was a stretch.
Yeah. So we've got a little interesting thing. You know why we work so well together, Roger?
I have no clue.
Neither do I. No, you know why? Because I was just giving you a hard time about your incorrect pronunciation of a town
the way I was brought up
to our north. You said Fond du Lac.
Yes.
And I said, I always heard it was Fond du Lac.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Curtis, the producer, just got a call, and I don't know, you know, I mean,
where they're from.
I don't know if this person is any kind of a expert. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody that's calling up to a radio station at 2:39 has to be suspect. But I will. I will take the no. I love you.
That was a sudden judgment.
No, I love. Come on, I love these people.
I know
these are the third shifters. These are the insomniacs. These are the people. That keep this city moving.
That's right.
That keep they are the fabric. They are the core.
This country, this city together.
I love them, but I still have to wonder who's calling up. No, I'm joking. So no, but this person says that. Guess what? The reason that we work so well is we were both right. Now, see, I'm a half full guy.
Right. Okay.
I'm not half empty.
Right.
Many people have accused me.
Yeah, but and
of being half empty, but
what you're full of. But
I mean, you hear me. You know how positive I am at all times, right?
Yeah,
I am such a positive guy. Every time we talk, when I come here, we're always talking about positive topics.
Sure.
Oh, see, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
But no, I'm half full.
Right.
And so the reason that we work so well is because we were both correct. We could say that we were both half wrong.
Well, yeah.
But I'm half full guy.
But it depends who's listening to you. So
yeah, I'm half full. Yeah. So I say we were both correct. It is fondue lack. So you were correct on the fondue part,
mm-hmm.
and I was correct on the lack, not lock.
Well, again, when we went up there several times,
okay, Roger, I understand
B&B,
it. Doesn't
and those
make
are
it
the people who live there. That's what they told us. It is that fond du lac
doesn't make it right.
I don't care.
No, so yeah, I would say so, but I never thought about it because it is spelled like fondue, and I love it, but it's three separate words. Well, it's so, fondue. Oh, it's fond. No,
F O N is one word.
Oh, so it's the
D U. And then L-A-C.
So it's the fond of lack, right?
What language are you
speaking? Well, no, like Leonardo da Vinci, Leonardo of Vinci.
Oh.
So it's the fond of lack,
it's
then.
The fonds of lack? Who?
Fond du lack.
Okay.
Right, I guess?
The lake. It's of the lake.
So there must be a fond in the lake.
We or have to, at the lake.
We now have to find out what is a fond.
Is this French that we are trying to speak?
I would think so. Fond du lac. I guess.
Bottom of the lake.
Is it really?
I just looked it up.
Fond means bottom.
Yeah.
See, French, once again, people say, why do I listen
bottom of the lake
to an Elton Jim at 2:41 in the morning? Because look at what you learned. This is, believe me, I'm looking at my script now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're
330,000 words.
Yeah, and we're on page 8 now, and nowhere on the script does it say find the origin of Fond du Lac.
Yeah.
I was not planning this. Curtis doesn't have this on our show rundown. Do a forensic word search of Fond du Lac, but yet here we are. You know, everybody in Chicago has probably said Fond du Lac.
Oh, now wait a minute.
More than one time in their life, and famous Chicago broadcaster Jonathan Brandmeier from Fond du Lac.
That's right.
Yeah. And he always said Fond du Lac. And yet, we have found out not only is it called Fond du Lac, but we now know what Fond du Lac, we've said this a million times our whole lives, it means what? Bottom of the lake.
It originated in 1785 as a French trading post named for its location at the farther end of the lake, meaning the bottom of the lake.
So not so much the bottom as in the mushy...
No, underneath water.
Underwater, no, but no. The bottom in terms of geographically.
Right, right.
The bottom
like
of the lake.
Top of the lake and
right.
The
no, it's of the top lake. Of the morning.
Top of the
not
morning.
Not top of the lake. Would you know what day it is? Yeah. Roger O'Badish, if you're going to say anything with topo, you got to say topo of the morning, not topo of the lake.
Amen.
Oh, Schoenbrigora.
Schoenbrigora.
Aaron Gobra, whatever it is.
I hit you with my shillelagh.
Yeah. You wish you could hit me with your shillelagh.
Yeah.
Why don't we go to the phones here? Could you, why don't you put her on there? Put Lisa on. Can you do that so I don't have to hit any more buttons? Hey, Lisa, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day,
well,
gentlemen.
Thank you, Lisa. What heritage are you?
Well, now, isn't that a unique question to ask me after what you were just talking about? So I grew up, I'm a Guerin girl, by the way, I grew up down the street from you.
Mother Guerin, down on Belmont Avenue, just a little farther west, down over there.
And married a St. Patty's boy, too, so there you go.
Your dad was Shona Rigora. Everybody who went to Guerin had to marry a St. Pat's boy. That's what, that was kind of, either went to Notre Dame, my wife went to Notre Dame High School, which was down a few blocks off of St. Patrick's High School, and we got married, and now you married a St. Patrick's boy. Very good for you.
I did. So, I grew up Italian, German, Norwegian, Catholic, obviously, did the 23andMe DNA test around New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
My mother is Italian-German. My father's German-Norwegian. Got my test back. I have 0% Italian in me. A teeny little bit of Norwegian in me. My lovely Italian Catholic mother, who has been the administrator of an Orthodox synagogue for the last 35 years, turns out to be half Ashkenazi Jew.
Oh, my. Well, and all I can say is I can talk to your mother and you, because I am 3% Jewish, and Roger, of course, is Jewish, too. So we're covering...
That's what I guess.
We're covering, but isn't that funny? So you're just like the commercial, because if you watch some of those DNA test commercials, a lot of the people complain that they were raised thinking that they were one heritage, and then they take the DNA test and they're completely different. And you fit that that profile perfectly. You have very little of what you thought you were.
Well, and the big question then, really, gentlemen, is who is her father?
Oh dear! Well, I didn't. Whoa. Wow. Okay, I didn't want to get into that.
Oh, no, it's okay. Well, we're having a good time with it.
I mean, if you want to do that, Lisa, you need to call Maury Povich.
Well, you know, and
he is not the father.
Exactly, but we have no clue because everybody's dead to ask, right?
So, mom is passed?
No, no, mom's here, but her mom is gone.
Oh, I see. Oh, right, yeah, so you're saying, yeah, you're going back to your grandparents, so... Oh my goodness!
Yeah. So I know, isn't this awesome? I mean, just it's fun, you know.
So it looks like your family tree is just one gnarled, crusty, curly branch. It doesn't really it doesn't spread out. It kind of turns upon itself.
But the really unique thing here is how before my mother has literally worked. Running, she was, you know, Roger can appreciate this. She was the Shabbos Goy, right? You know, she's always been around the Jewish faith my entire life. So we were always immersed in it. And it's just funny that it turns out we were already a part of it. We just didn't know.
Well, to your point, as I said, I, for whatever reason, I never knew I was 3% Jewish. What is that, a toenail? But still, and I never knew that. But I have, like you, I for whatever reason have been drawn to the Jewish culture. I love Jewish food. I love Yiddish. I have the dictionary of Yiddish. I love to talk to my Jewish friends and throw Yiddish words around. I've been to a few Jewish religious ceremonies. So unbeknownst to me, just out of my own kind of what I thought was just my own internal curiosity, unlike you, it sounds like you were really immersed into the Jewish faith or the Jewish culture, but me too. And now I find out, you know, decades later that while I'm not, you know, 50% Jewish, there is a reason. There's a little enough Jewish in me to, you know, want to go to a deli and nosh a little.
Well, and it's not wrong. It really isn't, because we all like some good pastrami, right?
Oh, I love. Oh my gosh, you know, everybody's going to be talking about corned beef and cabbage today on St. Patrick's Day, but you know, for me, pastrami is the other red meat.
I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, now that they've closed down, you know, Elliott's is gone, Schmeisser's is gone.
Oh,
we have no more good corned beef anymore.
Yeah, listen to you, good old Elliott's on Gunnison on the Northwest Side.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
I had friends that lived around there. We used to go to Elliott's all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well,
I'll
tell you, it is interesting when you do those DNA tests. I get no free publicity here or any kind of, promotional stuff, but it is, I would encourage you. It's so easy. Those tests are relatively cheap. You can get them for sale sometimes, $59. It's no big deal. They send you a thing. You spit in a cup. You send it off. 6 weeks later, you find out all this interesting stuff. Well, Lisa, I'm sorry that your grandmother potentially slept around.
Well, you know, it wasn't an unknown fact.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
So,
okay, Grandma. Well, we'll embrace whatever roots you are today, embrace them, and we're all a little Irish as well.
And we certainly are. Have a good one. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you so much for calling and staying up this morning here. Jim O'Toronto with you here at WGN, filling in for David Plyer this morning. It's about 2:49. We'll be back right after this. No switching.
You should have the luck of the Irish, and you'd wish you was English instead.
And... happy St. Patrick's Day. Let me be among the first to wish that to you here on March 17th, the day that we celebrate
the beloved saint who drove out all the snakes from Ireland. Jim O'Toronto with you here. Elton O'Jim, along with Roger O'Badish. And Curtis I love it. I mean, you know what's so funny? Every time I get to your name, it's so funny. But it's Coke, I know that. It's Curtis O'Coke. I like to, I stop, and I hesitate, and he looks at me. And I like to see the look. I just like to see the look of that son of a bee.
I've heard it all.
Oh, I'm sure you have. Oh, believe me. I get, you know, my last name is Turano, T-U-R-A-N-O, but I always, for many years, and even to this day, get the Toronto, Canada spelling. So I used to get, I still get sometimes, when I tell people, oh, yeah, my name is Jim Turano, and they will send me some letter in the mail. Now you get less mail these days from normal people, regular people, but yeah, I would always get Jim Toronto, T-O-R-O-N-T-O, and yeah. I would say, no, it's not Canada, you know.
Yeah, when people call in, they always pronounce it wrong. We've gotten Cooch,
oh, sure.
Couch, Coke.
Well, I'll tell you, the only reason that I know that your name is Coke, and I even asked you about that before the show, was because of the famous Coke brothers
yeah. Uh-huh.
who own half the world. And you know, and they, and I've seen, and when you see, they always show a picture of the outside of their office building, and there it is, K-O-C-H,
yep.
But it's pronounced Coke.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
but wasn't it Mayor Koch?
Yes, it was.
Didn't it spelled the same way?
Exactly the same way. Yeah, for the New York mayor Ed Koch for many years. So yeah, how do you know?
I used to get mail. They couldn't spell my name, so they mailed it to occupant.
That's why Roger's in the newsroom.
That's why I'm in the newsroom. You're over there.
And that's why he's not at Zany's. Wow.
They keep moving.
A tumbleweed.
Did you hurt yourself?
No, a tumbleweed just blew by after that last joke you told.
Thank you.
Whew. Wow.
I was lucky to get the tumbleweed.
So, in all seriousness, I saw Roger. You are there in the newsroom, and you had your green shirt on.
Yeah, I've got my green polo shirt tonight.
Yeah. I will have to pull out my St. Patrick's baseball hat.
Are you going
to
go out today?
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, you're talking about snow, which is a real
bummer. Oh, come on, please.
I fully embrace my 1% of Irish, which I never knew I had. Interesting enough, as I said, this DNA test that I took about a year or so ago came back what I expected. I was almost 50-50, which I was raised with. I always thought I was half Italian, half Polish.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out I was 42-40. As I said, there was another 18% floating around there. Interestingly enough, about 7%, which makes sense when you think about it geographically, 7% of my background is Middle Eastern, which I had no idea. But it makes sense when you look at a map and you see where Italy was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure my Italian ancestors probably went through or maybe came from.
Sure.
Or walk through and spend a little time, just like mm-hmm. Lisa's apparently grandmother got around.
Yeah, maybe with Hannibal.
Yeah, there you go. They took a few elephants, went up the few hills. Yeah. So I was surprised to see Middle Eastern, and as I said, a Great Britain,
mm-hmm.
Even a little a Scandinavian.
Look at that.
Yeah. And I'm sure that on the Polish, with my mom being Eastern European, I'm sure the Jewish came in from her side.
Sure.
With the Polish kind of Jewish connection. So very interesting. Yeah. I mean, I would definitely suggest or, encourage people to take that DNA test. It's relatively inexpensive. It's very easy to take. They make it, although it's not, surprisingly enough, they say, they give you this little tube and you spit in there. You put your saliva in there, okay. And then you put it in a little box, which is already self-addressed, and you just drop it in the mail. It can't be any easier. Huh. But I'll tell you what is difficult. It's we won't do it on the air, although it would be a pretty good audio.
What, spitting?
Well, it's not easy to really gather a lot. You have to, there's a little tube, then you have to reach an X amount of saliva.
Oh, there's like a line or something?
Yeah.
On it, or,
you can't just give like a little,
and
you gotta really go, you're surprised. You think,
you want to, you can't.
You figure, I've got so much saliva.
Mm-hmm.
Ask anybody who talks to me.
All right.
I'm spraying.
Don't spray
I'm
it.
Spraying right, like yeah. I'm, a Wrigley Field, a sprinkler. And, now I should say, not Wrigley Field, a guaranteed rate field sprinkler.
Yeah,
I don't want to. Or a leaking or a leaking Zamboni. I'm going to hit all the
Zamboni.
Yeah, I'm going to hit all the sports teams here at WGN.
Okay.
But
Northwestern. A damp mop for the Northwestern.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's hit them all. But yeah, so but it was not that easy to gather up as much saliva as needed. Yeah. I was really struggling to fill the little tube. But I did it.
That's good.
Yeah, and as I said, it was a very and the cool thing too is with I used Ancestry.com once again, not giving a plug. That's just the one that I used. But I've gotten about five or I would say at least 10 over the last year. I've gotten 10 emails from people because then they send out your DNA to other people.
What?
And so I've gotten DNA like your results. I mean,
but
not your exact results, but like. They will say you have a possible cousin,
but that shouldn't be public knowledge.
No. And then you can. They will send you an email, a push email, says if you want to get in touch with this person, here's their email, so that you don't have to.
But what if you don't? What if they don't want you to?
Well, I guess
the cousin. Maybe or have they already been notified?
Maybe they've been notified.
See, now I got questions.
Okay, whatever. Yep. All I know what's very cool is I've gotten a lot of emails from people saying, hey, and they've actually told me information about my family that I never knew because they were second or third cousins. And they said, you know, your grandmother and my cousin knew one another. And, you know, she had a brother. I mean, I'm finding out. I found out some stuff that I never knew. So yeah. I would encourage it. It's pretty cool. All but anyway.
I don't think they'll let me add any more pages.
Oh, God, yeah, please. Don't write about your heritage. Oh, no. There's another 17.
We're going to be reading Roger's encyclopedia.
Oh, my God. Not more pages of that book.
The World Book of Roger.
Roger literally has a dolly that he carries, that he has to push around to carry. You should get, you know what, go to Jewel and just steal one of the carts.
Yeah, I can do
just
that.
Throw it in there. Yeah. You look like a homeless guy anyway. No one's going to tell the difference.
Don't touch my book.
You know what? That's my book, you know. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah, I got a publisher and everything. It's gonna tear the roof off the education and radio and medical world.
It's gonna
I'll
do
tell
better
you that.
Than John Rickards Landecker.
Yeah, I mean, he sells books, but I ain't gonna sell any. But you watch.
No one's gonna.
You know what? In my book, I name names.
Yeah. George, Mary. I'm working on the Z's now. Zeus.
Jim Toronto filling in for David Plyer this morning. Be here till 5 a.m. It's about 3:02. Let me see what I've got to read here. Ah, here it is. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet, and they never called me. Weekday mornings at 7:20 on 7:20 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It is about 3:02, and here is the news with Roger Obadish. Welcome back. Jim Toronto with you here, filling in for David Plyer this morning. And you may hear the instrumental tones of the Go Cubs Go song there. I've been promising I will talk about a letter that I had printed in the Tribune back in February. It's been a while since we've spoken, so I thought I would catch some people up. I don't know how many people read newspapers anymore these days, but they're still out there. They're delivered to your home. They are sitting there. In those little boxes, and there's still some of us who read them on a daily basis, and there's still some of us who like to get our views out there. As I said, if I don't have a radio medium to spout my views, and my wife is getting tired of hearing all my rants, so I put pen to paper, and I wrote a letter to the editor recently, and we will talk about that. I did want to mention one quick thing here. It is St. Patrick's Day, and it is 3:10. People are either coming home from their St. Patrick's Day pre-benders. So, as I said, we are probably talking to an audience that is an interesting mix this morning. We've got people with headaches and bed spins, or we've got people that are saying, hey, it's officially St. Patrick's Day. Let's go. Bottoms up. Shotgun. Do people still shotgun beers, Curtis? Do you know what that means? Yeah?
Yeah, I know what that means.
So they still do that, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we used to shotgun beers. You take a can of beer and you... Mm-hmm. You put a hole in the bottom with a can opener and you hit the pot the top and then it shoots out.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a beer bong.
Yeah.
It's a poor man's beer bong. And then you're all proud of yourself that you were downing 12 ounces of liquor in about a minute and a half.
It becomes a race.
Oh, yeah. Shotgun. Yeah. They still do that, though, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, some of the great...
young drinkers at college.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, I mean, some of the great traditions, they never really can go away.
Yeah.
You wish they would.
I know.
Beer pong and all that.
Oh, you know what? That was something that we never had. We had real ping pong.
It got messy hitting that beer cup back and forth over the table.
Unlike what I've observed from the millennials, not everything we do somehow has a connection to alcohol. But wow, the millennials certainly have found a way to do that. I mean, you know, although I shouldn't say that because in my day there was drinking games based on, do you remember this, Roger O'Banish?
Mm. What?
Do you remember people used to do a drinking game based on the Bob Newhart show?
No.
Yes. Every time someone on the Bob Newhart show would say, "Hi, Bob."
Oh, really?
You had to take a shot.
No. See, that was long before or long after my time.
Yeah, but that used to be a drink.
We didn't need a reason to have a drink back in my day in college.
But I make a pledge to you throughout this show until at least 5 o'clock. I will make a pledge. Some of the music that we play throughout the show, coming in and out of breaks and things like that, I will not play any U2. Okay, just so you know.
Any U3?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to play any U2. That's too easy. Right. I've already played Luck of the Irish by John Lennon. I don't know how many people are going to play that. No one's going to hear that, but you're going to hear it here.
No.
And I played When Irish Eyes Are Smiling by a Mr. Bing Crosby. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. So I'm not going to play any U2.
That's fine.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm sure other people will, but I am a purist, and it's like, that's too easy.
All right.
But anyway.
Yeah, so we're talking about your letter?
Yeah. Okay. So in February, I was reading a column by Tribune columnist Eric Zorn. And he was writing when the Cubs made this announcement that next year in 2020, they will be starting their own television pay-per-view network and basically taking all the Cubs' spring cleaning games.
That's part of the contract, I understand.
All the spring training games, as well as all of their home and away games, and putting it on their own private pay-per-view channel, which fans, of course, would have to pay for the privilege of watching Cub games, which is going to be a major culture shock for so many Cub fans in this city who are used to watching games. It's not as much, I mean, but some of us in the last 30 or 40 years, you basically grew up watching the Cubs on Channel 9. I mean, that's where you went on Saturday afternoons or even on Tuesday afternoons at 3 o'clock, and there were the Cubs when they played a lot more day games. So Eric Zorn's point of his column that he wrote was that since the Cubs were taking their games and putting them on a pay-per-view service totally unto themselves, as opposed to sharing the current one that they have been with many years with the White Sox and the Blackhawks and the Bulls, they are just going on their own because they certainly have a fan base that can support that on their own. They are one of the few teams, I would say. The Yankees have one of these networks of their own. The Dodgers have one, and the Cubs certainly have a huge and loyal fan base where they could support this. So Eric Zorn's point was, after this and a few other points, there were some controversial email statements that were published by the Cubs owners, the father of Tom Ricketts, that were anti-Muslim. So there was a lot of controversy, political, cultural, as well as financial. And so Eric Zorn pointed these out and said, "I'm quitting the Cubs." He's not born here in Chicago, but he came here, and when he came to Chicago, he adopted the Cubs as his team. But his point was, "I'm quitting the Cubs." And so I read this, and everybody's certainly entitled to their opinion, and I empathize with him because I've heard a lot of Cub fans say, "I'm going to become a Sox fan." I don't know how much of a Cub fan you were then, if you could easily change your your fandom and your allegiance that quickly, but that's beside the point. Everybody has, if there's some people say, hey, I don't, you know, to me, they're betraying their fans. I get that. But I also felt that there were a couple of points that we need to think about before we decide which team we're going to follow and for what reasons, and if we are going to dump one over the other, and this whole controversy of the fact that the Cubs be taking their games off free or at least basic cable to another pay, another little added bonus of another $5 or $10 a month, whatever it may be, for the privilege of watching the Cubs starting next season. So I went to the computer and I wrote a little letter and I sent it to Eric Zorn first, and he wrote me back very quickly and he said, hey, that's, you know, nice letter, thanks for the thought, and good idea, because I offered my own little suggestion in my letter, and I thought, well, geez, if he liked it, maybe I'll send it to the letters section of the paper, and maybe they'll print it, and sure enough, 2 or 3 days later, they did. I believe it was in February, like February 18th or 19th, so if you wanted to go online, you could find it there in the letters to the editor. I think it's Voice of the People in the Tribune website, the Chicago Tribune newspaper website, but I'll read you the letter right here. I just happen to have a copy. Who would have thought? I did not make this this headline up for the little letter. They did that, but it seemed to grasp what I was talking about. Under the heading of "Throw Cub Fans a Bone, comma, please," this was the letter that I wrote. They did a little editing, but not much, which was kind of nice, too. So at least they kept the spirit of what I was talking about on here. So here's the letter that I wrote that was printed in the Chicago Tribune on, I think, February 18th or 19th. It says, being a lifelong Cub fan, I empathize with Eric Zorn's dilemma of quitting the Cubs after the team announced it is launching its own pay network next season to broadcast its games. However, we must remember that despite taking a city's name to cultivate cultivate civic pride, professional sports teams are not civic enterprises. They are privately owned profit centers. The current Cubs ownership in 2016 did end a century-old wait for a World Series victory. Plus, the owners are investing more than $1 billion of their own money to renovate Wrigley Field and its neighborhood. They deserve to look for ways to recoup such an impressive investment. Still, given the passion and patience of Cub fans, it does seem the team could make a fan-friendly gesture and give their legion of diehards at least 20 games on free TV and broadcast them on longtime partner WGN-TV just as a way to say thanks for your loyalty. And so they printed that letter, and basically that is my kind of take on this. I understand why Cubs fans and sports fans are upset about this. You know, these days with your text bill and your cable bill and your Netflix bill and your Amazon Prime bill, and we get nickeled and dimed here. There's 1099s everywhere. You look, you're getting hit for, oh, it's only $10.99. Well, yeah, that one thing is only $10.99. But you have 10 of these $10.99s, it's $100 a month. And so here's another $5 to $10 a month now to watch the Cubs. As I said, the Cubs fans have been among the, if not the, most patient fans in the history of American sports waiting for a championship, 108 years. And so I understand the Cubs looking for and having every right to find ways to make money. As I said, they, unlike many teams around the country, they are spending their own money to renovate Wrigley Field and that neighborhood around it. Over $1 billion, I'm sure, when it is all over. And if you have to remember, too, it was almost unthinkable. Do you remember that for about 10 years, the Wrigley Field had huge nets underneath the grandstands to catch falling concrete so it wouldn't hit people? They had nets there for 10 years. If that was not Wrigley Field, I'm sure the city would have closed that public space down because of health and safety regulations, but it was Wrigley Field.
So the Ricketts have come in, and not only, as I said, did they get you something that no Cub ownership could do for more than a century, was spend the money, get the right people, get the right management, and win a World Series. So that has got to be a check in the good column. But they are spending their own money. They're not coming to the taxpayers. They're not saying we want subsidized or tax incentives. This is $1 billion out of their pocket. I'm not patting them on the back. I'm just saying they're investing $1 billion of their own money. So I think they do have a right to find ways to recoup that money. And they are, as I said before, they are one of the few baseball franchises who do have the kind of base and the kind of fans that will, most, even if they're complaining about it, they are going to cough up the money to watch their Cubs. So I think that's okay. They can make their own network and they can find ways to make money. They are a business enterprise. They are not a civic enterprise just because they took the name Chicago. It could be the Ricketts Cubs. I mean, it was very smart by the first people in sports who decided to take cities' names instead of naming it after themselves or after something private. It was very shrewd and very smart because, as I said, they cultivated a civic pride. And we have parades in downtown and we're all, hoo-hoo, Chicago, Chicago. But at the end of the day, all these teams, whether it's the Bears, whether it's the White Sox, whether it's the Bulls, whether it's the Blackhawks, whether it's the Cubs, they're all privately owned companies. And they're there to make a profit at the end of the day. And they have a right to do that. And they have a great thing that we love. So it's supply and demand. But in the Cubs case, at the very least, if they wanted to do something nice for the fans to show thank you for the loyalty, 20 games a season on free TV is not all that much. It's a six-month season. It comes to about 3.5 games a month. 3.5 games a month they couldn't put on free TV? Just for the fans to say thanks? This won't happen until 2020. There's still time for Tom Ricketts and Crane Kenny, who is the president of the Cubs, to do something cool for the fans. I think this is something that is not going to hurt their bottom line, but it's really going to, it really would create just a nice little sense of thank you and some nice fan-friendly kind of partnership, just to say kinship, to say thank you. So it's not too late, Cubs. You could actually do something nice. Give those fans 20 free games. You're going to have so much on your pay-per-view channel. So give them at least 20 games. What do you say? Jim Toronto filling in for David Plyer here at WGN, 720 AM. It's about 3:23. We'll take a quick break. He'll be right back. Hey, no switching. Oh, top of the morning, literally, to you here on a St. Patrick's Day. Jim O'Toronto with you, along with Roger Badish and Curtis O'Koch, helping you through to the day when the sun comes out. Hopefully no snow as we celebrate the beautiful day of our beloved St. Patrick. As I said, I just recently, even though my last name is Toronto and my heritage for the most part is Italian and Polish, I did find out, thanks to one of those DNA tests, that I have 1% Irish in me. So I am totally on board now with St. Patrick's Day, embracing my root, as I say, my 1%. So top of the morning to y'all. And Lisa Wolf mentioned when I was doing the crosstalk with her and Carl before I started today at 2, I do have a red scarf on. I was in my closet. I have nothing green, which is, you know, kind of strange. I mean, I just don't have anything green. Then I realized that I do have something in a closet downstairs from my old days at St. Patrick's High School, where I attended on Belmont and Austin in the on the northwest side. So I do have some green. So if I do go out today, I will wear some of my old St. Patrick High School stuff. My varsity jacket, although I got to tell you, I am so old at this point that I don't really want to wear my varsity jacket.
Why not?
Well, because it has the year I graduated on.
So what? It's only a number.
Okay. I'm going to depress myself more than usual. Curtis, what year were you born?
1994.
1994.
I graduated high school in 2013.
Oh! You graduated high school in what?
2013. Class of 2013.
So on your varsity jacket, it would say 13.
Correct.
My number is almost 13, and I'm not your age. That's how old I am. I mean, I'm embarrassed to go out there with my...
Wait a minute. You got nothing to worry about.
Dare I say?
Of the three of us.
Well, yeah. Well, you're fine. Roger, you're Methuselah. I mean, you don't...
I burped Methuselah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Roger the other day was fearing the Ides of March because he was there when Caesar got stabbed.
I was the one who told him, don't go out.
It was Cassius, Brutus, and Baddish. Weren't you one of the conspirators?
I passed the knife. I said, I ain't doing this. No. Are you kidding?
Thou art. Well, not. In fact, I think there's a line in the Shakespeare play, et tu Baddish.
But it was too long, so they cut it.
Right. Well, you didn't. You added it in. They cut it out. Thanks God. Thank God Shakespeare had an editor. Man, Roger writing his memoirs, his autobiography, 300,000 words. God, the people say I talk a lot. Jesus,
I didn't talk. I let my fingers do the talking.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, yeah. So here we are, and it's just an interesting.
So you wore green today.
Well,
go,
like
go
I said,
to the store and buy something green.
I know. I mean, my teeth
like
don't.
Donuts
my teeth don't count, do they?
Well, you said you had your hat.
Yeah. I do have my baseball hat, and it's a St. Pat's hat. I mean, there I do. I can walk out. I've got this beautiful, varsity jacket from St. Pat's High School. Big shamrock on the back.
Yeah,
green.
Weird.
With a trim of green and gold because those were our colors on the waist and on the sleeve, like right around your wrist, with the black leather. And as I said, though, I would love to wear this jacket.
Don't worry about it.
But the embarrassing thing is the huge, giant, dare I say it? And I'm going to lose.
Dare.
I'm going to lose whatever small respect producer Curtis may have for me.
You're way beyond
when
that.
When he looks at me and says, oh, wow. I mean, I knew you were old, but wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say it. Because it's 3:30. It's 3:30.
Hold on to your desk.
Yeah, hold on. Wow. There's a part of me that is very sheepish and very reluctant to go out wearing my St. Pat's varsity jacket with the number 82 on it.
That's not too bad.
You guys.
1982?
Please. I got kids it's older than
36
you.
Years ago. No, 37. In this year, in April or March, May.
Yeah.
37 years ago?
Please, we're doing our 50th reunion next year.
Do you think Lori Loughlin's kid would respect me if she saw an 82 on that?
She probably would be too focused trying to get Sephora back on her.
Yeah, I mean, here she is, a leading internet influencer. She doesn't even know what 82 means. She doesn't even know the people that were. She doesn't even know what
all,
it was
the
like.
The only thing about 82 is that she knows there's 82 different shades of makeup that she could get.
Well, she doesn't even know that people were born in the 1900s. I mean, if she's 19, she was born in 2000, probably. I mean, thank God. I mean, Curtis was born in the 19s. The scary part is there are people now walking this earth, driving cars, cheating to get into schools. Who were born in 2000.
Well, that's the thing. I was watching some spring training baseball. You're finally seeing kids that were born in the 21st century start to sneak into games.
Oh, how scary. Yeah, this is...
19 years old, 18 years old.
I kind of wish that I was born like in the 1900, like in 1920 or something, so that my whole lifetime would have stayed in one century. Because... Now, where I was born, sort of in the middle, a little past the middle, I'm in one part, it's very cool to, be living in, another century with all the technology, and everything. But then it really, when a whole new generation comes that wasn't born even in that century anymore, they're going to look at you like, oh my gosh, how are you still walking? But that's what it is. I always felt that I was either born too late or too early. I've never felt like I fit in where I am, but it wasn't up to me. Thanks to my mom and dad on that one night in the back of probably a Chevrolet.
See the USA in your Chevrolet.
See dating ourselves again.
Yes, thank you.
See the USA in a Chevrolet. Or you could just see us on. Well, you know, I mean, are we on? Is the camera on?
I believe so. Yes.
So people can go on WGN.com and watch whatever this is.
Video live stream.
Yeah, they could see my red sweater or my red scarf, which I am wearing for the forgotten holiday.
Right, if you want to put it that way.
Which is on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
St. Joseph's Day.
There you go.
Of which the Italians are very proud. But yeah. St. Joseph, I feel sorry for St. Joseph. I mean, this guy is really gets the short end of the stick.
Mm-hmm.
Foster father of Jesus, first of all. Can't even be father of Jesus. We were raised to say he was the foster father of Jesus.
Oh, okay.
And then his feast day gets way overshadowed by St. Patrick. Poor St. Joseph. I mean, here's the poor guy. He finds a nice little pregnant woman, takes her in, raises her kid, has a feast day, and no one cares. Oh.
Jeez. Well, because they're still hungover from the from St. Patrick's Day.
Exactly.
We got news to do.
Yeah, we do. 3:35. Jim Toronto filling in for David Plyer. Let's see how fast Roger can get this one done. Here's Roger Batty. I don't have a green shirt on, but Roger does. It's ill-fitting. Yeah. It's ill-fitting, but it's...
Nothing ill about it. It's clean.
Just
it passed its health exam.
Just joking.
I'm fine.
That's a green shirt by Elvis Costello, also of Irish origin.
There you go.
Jeez.
Mine is a dark forest green.
Forest green. Wasn't he in F-Troop?
No, that was Forrest Tucker.
Ah, Forrest Tucker. Yeah. Sorry. Hey, Egon!
Wasn't there a movie about him?
What's that?
Wasn't there a movie about him?
That was Gump.
Now you got him going. Oh, my God.
Oh, believe me. Oh, yeah. It's going to be very easy to corrupt Curtis. Believe me. Oh, my gosh. If I worked every week with Curtis, it'd be two against one, Roger.
It'd be a green straitjacket.
Oh, Roger, you wouldn't have a chance in here.
I know. You wouldn't
have a chance.
Yeah. I'm holding my own with you.
Oh, I got you. You always do.
Trust me.
Hey, of course you are. I mean, you're a pro. There's 300,000 words that are a testament to that.
And counting.
Oh.
Trust me, Jim, for months, Plyer and I were harassing Roger with Lincoln Carpeting sponsors.
Ah, poor Roger. Remember those, Curtis may remember these, but I'm talking to some people that also have an 82 on their varsity jacket. remember those blow-up punching bags? That used to have like a clown face?
Sure.
And you'd hit him?
You know what the biggest one was Bozo.
Bozo. Yeah. The cool little red nose in it, too.
Right.
It used to have sand on the bottom, and that's what kept it from standing. And then you would punch it.
Right.
And it would. I'm sure nowadays.
It was a big person's weeble.
Because
weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Right. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Yeah.
And, I'm sure kids today can't do that.
Do you have one in your collection?
Violent. No, but I think between me and David and Curtis, you are basically that punching bag.
Who, me?
Yeah, they should be like, they should make a WGN Roger Badish inflatable punching bag that can give out, 14th caller.
Yeah.
No, they give one out with every copy of Roger's book.
Oh. Well, then they only need about seven.
Hey, you can get one at Walmart for $19.
Oh, really? They still sell those?
Oh, yeah. In fact, now he's got, the model they've got has like hair growing out from the punching bag.
Of Bozo?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
And he's holding a little target in his chest.
Well, boy, Cookie! Well, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were they were great. But if you were a kid, I remember I probably had one when I was between maybe, 4 and 7 or 8.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, it took 2 years to blow that thing up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
well, you didn't have a...
With your little lungs.
A pump or one of those air holes.
No, hoses. I'm old school. I'm
old school.
I'm old school. I blew it. 3, 2, 1.
Nick is going to have so much fun with... There, the... Oh my god.
Curtis just got on the S list right now.
Wow. And apparently it's a miniature version. Like
really?
A desktop model.
Ah, for little kids.
Yeah.
Because they don't have enough aggression. It was bad enough that they were teaching us to punch things when we were 6 and 7. You know, everything's moving so fast these days, Roger. Mm-hmm. We've got to get the toddlers into yeah, into punching things and showing their aggression. I mean, what are we going to do here?
I don't know.
But yeah,
run for the hills.
It seems that you've become the WGN punching bag. So call promotions.
Right. And you know what? I'm fine with that.
Oh, Roger, we love you.
I know that. And $7 will get you a good espresso.
Yeah, let me uncross my fingers.
Yeah, thank you.
But
bite your tongue.
What do we got here?
I don't know. What's going on?
Well, it's 4:15. Let me tell you this. So, what I love about doing these shows when I'm occasionally called to do them.
I'm wondering now why they
do. Yeah, well, now I do. I even know why. I'm learning now. But it's like, you know, if I'm supposed to really stay with the log, we should take a break now.
Guess what?
Well, but guess what? When Plyer's here, times where we've taken the news at like 3:42.
You know the log that you're supposed to take the break now?
Yeah.
That's when we'd go to news.
Oh, my God.
Am I right, Chris?
I don't do that.
Huh? He's totally right.
Yeah, no, I don't do that. I try to pride myself because I am a pro. It doesn't sound like it. This show sounds like it's a complete, off the rails, but it's all scripted. Roger, what page? We're on page 27 right now.
290,000.
Here's the line.
I see it.
It says,
you showed me the whole script.
Yeah, here's page 27.
Here.
It says, this show is scripted. I'm even reading that to talk about a show within a show.
Right.
I'm talking about how this show is scripted, reading that from a script.
Yeah.
Wow.
Problem is, it was last week's script.
Yeah,
in trouble, man.
But what I loved about when I was on in the afternoon is that we used to pride ourselves on getting to the news before that beep.
Yeah,
you know, the top of the hour beep, and we would do that. It's as crazy and as impromptu as the show felt. At the same time, we were very cognizant of doing it in a professional manner. Yeah. And so, I always do go over, but when I hear that beep, I go, darn, I wanted to get to that on the beep. So I'm at least I'm trying. Wait a minute, let me wait. Turning the page of the script.
Okay, please do.
Well, I don't know. So, but what's so funny is, I always enjoy talking to Roger and having fun with him. And so we just kind of...
Well, we hardly see each other.
I know. Tell me about it. And so we always go off on these tangents. But, what's so funny is I put together a... and Curtis has one, too. I sent this to her, to Curtis, like on Thursday of this week.
Wow.
I create a preliminary. It's right there on the top. Preliminary rundown of the show, and I've got the whole show. I'm joking about a script, but I do have every half hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with a topic, I somehow get to them all. Sometimes I don't, but what I love about this is that we did. So to me, that's the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
We've got something to work from in case. Nothing happens, and nothing is interesting.
And you've really had to work from it tonight.
Right. But, wow. Oh. Et tu badish. Et tu badish.
Well, we just went through the eyes of March. I mean,
you know what I'm excited about? I'm doing my first Shakespeare play.
You do a lot of plays.
Yeah, I'm actually doing The Crucible now.
Oh.
And I'm playing the Judge Danforth, so I'm getting to hang all the witches.
Very nice.
But I have never done a Shakespeare play, and I am actually doing one, and I'll talk about it a little later, but there's a group in Lyle, Illinois, called The Bard in the Burbs.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and they just do strictly Shakespeare plays. It's the first time I've done it. It's not a huge role, but I'm actually glad for that, in that I can... sort of get my t-
toe, you know, dip my toe into the Shakespeare pool,
mm-hmm.
because there are a lot of these and thous and dosts and, mm-hmm. and canst and mm-hmm. things like that. So, but if the play is As You Like It, which is one of the Shakespeare comedies.
Oh, cool.
And I am playing Duke Frederick. I have usurped my brother's mm-hmm. kingdom, and I have banished him into the forest of Arden.
So we're not going to see any togas?
No, I don't know what I'm going to wear. Maybe some big robes.
Ooh, what? But you're a prince, right?
I'm a king. Yeah, and Duke, I may go Duke, kamikaze.
Duke of Earl.
I may go kamikaze underneath the cape.
Yeah, the big cape with a cane.
Oh, no, commando. What am I talking about? Kamikaze. Commando is the word, right?
You're going to explode.
I might go
on
kamikaze.
Stage?
Yeah, I'm going to fly a plane into
crash and burn on stage?
Yeah, into one of the trees in the Forest of Arden. No, a commando. I may go commando.
Yeah.
Under my
But if you're a Duke,
robes.
You ought to, when you walk on stage, you ought to play that music.
Duke of Earl. Once again, Curtis looking at us like, wow, now I know what it means when you've got an 82 on your varsity jacket. What are they talking about?
Your age, not the year.
The only Duke he knows is the one with Coach K. That's the only Duke that he knows.
That's exactly right.
But anyway, so I am going to tell you, once again, it's according to the script.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll BS until the top of the hour.
That's what it says on the script.
That's what it says. It's page 34, because I use a big font. then I will tell you about my travels to New York a few weeks ago. I had close encounters. I'll tease you a little. I had celebrity close encounters with three pretty impressive people, completely by accident. Billie Jean King.
Ooh.
Bryan Cranston.
The actor.
The actor from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Michael Stipe from R.E.M.
The singer.
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that an interesting little grouping?
That is.
I will tell you how they all connect
mm-hmm.
right after this. No switching. And if you are into podcasts, guess who has one on WGNplus.com? Actually, I've been doing the podcast now for almost 3 years. It's called Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And for those of you that are familiar with Elton John, he has one of his best-known albums called Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy. So I did a little takeoff on that. He's Captain Podtastic. But it's not about Elton John. It's just that I go by Elton Jim, and so I thought it'd be a nice little tie-in, and if you got the little reference, you did, and if you didn't, it sounds podtastic, doesn't it? So, yes, every Monday, a new episode, what do you call that? What do you call these things, these podcasts?
Yeah, episodes.
Episode, right? Yeah. I'm at 148. 148 will be posted, and I also have a landing page on WGNplus.com. So if you go to WGNplus.com, you go to the entertainment section, you hit that prompt, and you will see Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic and all previous 147 podcasts are there for your binging and podcasting pleasure. So please, every Monday, go to WGNplus.com, or you can go to my Facebook page, which is Jim Turano, T-U-R-A-N-O. I think Elton Jim also comes up on that. And I post a link to that on Monday morning. So I have fun with that. It's about an hour or so. And I talk about whatever's going on or whatever's on my mind. And we always have some fun with that. So check that out every Monday. And as I said, the great thing about podcasts, what's interesting, kind of the shtick that I run on there is that there's 168 hours in a week. All I'm asking for is one. I mean, if you had $168 in your pocket and someone asked you for a dollar, wouldn't you say, well, yeah, here's a buck. I got 168. All right, that's all I'm asking for. Out of your 168 hours in a week, all I'm asking for is one of those for you to listen to my podcast. Is that so much? And if you do, I will give you this adorable blanket. No. Yeah, I mean, come on. One out of 168? And then the interesting is, it just this dawned on me on the podcast that I've already recorded it and it will be posted tomorrow morning. It dawned on me as I was doing it, and as you could tell, the podcast is very stream of consciousness, just like this. It dawned on me that in 20 podcasts from now, say 20 weeks, 5 months, I will have 168 podcasts, which means that if you wanted to get up to date
and you had nothing to do for a week, you could start on Sunday morning at midnight and listen to all 168 of my podcasts. And then on that next Monday, you'd be up to date on podcast 169. So if you have a week where you have really nothing to do, or block it out, take a week's vacation. What else are you doing? Give me 168 hours. Give me that. It's only 168 hours. That's all I'm asking for. But no, once a week, 1 hour out of your 168. Is that too much to ask? So go on WGNplus.com every Monday. Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. It is a couple minutes to four here at WGN 720 AM. Jim Toronto filling in for David Plyer this morning. Boy, this show has flown by. We have only an hour to go. I can do 3 hours of this standing on my head. So thank you to Curtis Koch, who is producing today. And as I said, I am a little bit of the Irish, as I found out about a year ago that in addition to my heritage of being half Italian and half Polish, that I've got that one shining green percent of the blood that's flowing through this, whatever this body is.
It's like a one-leaf shamrock.
Yes, that's right. Like I said, my root, no pun intended, is Irish. So I am, for the first time, really, in my life. And anyway, I grew up, I was born and raised Catholic, was an altar boy at St. Bartholomew Church over on the northwest side on Addison and Cicero, and went to St. Patrick's High School on the northwest side over on Belmont and Austin. So steeped. Oh, most of my friends, one of my best friends, my parish was filled with O'Donnells and O'Reillys, and you name it. One of my best friends was good old Tim Bolger. Oh, Timmy, we miss you. So anyway, so now I found out that after almost, you know, how many years of acknowledging St. Patrick's Day, but really not, you know, getting way into it because it wasn't my heritage. I know everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day, but now I can honestly say and embrace that 1%. As I said, I am a 1%er now. So I am embracing my Irish roots. So it is Elton O'Jim, and it is 4 a.m., and it is the Steve Cochran Show. Celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings, don't you know? At 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. The smart speaker users. Oh, you just say play WGN radio on your tune-in.
Green-eyed lady, lovely lady, strolling slowly towards the sun.
Ah, the green-eyed lady on this green-eyed, green-dyed celebration of good old St. Patrick's Day here in the city of Chicago. We will talk one of the regular features that David Plyer does on this show on a weekly basis is this day in history, and I was just paging through the copy that that we had, and we actually will talk about very briefly here, a little note on this day in history. The St. Patrick's Day Parade here in Chicago, interestingly enough. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and I was surprised to hear that the Chicago's St. Patrick's Day Parade was today. I thought, it, you know, our Saturday. It should have been, I thought, on Sunday. It was a Sunday. It's a day off, and it's not very often that you have that the holiday falls on a day where people are home. You could have a nice, you know, Sunday parade, but I guess they had it on Saturday. And he said, "Well, you know, the St. Patrick's Day parade in Elmhurst was 2 weeks ago.
What?
Or last week or something." And I was like, "Oh, you mean the world famous Elmhurst St. Patrick's Day parade?" I'm like, "Let's see. There's Dublin."
Mm-hmm.
Belfast,
mm-hmm.
New York,
mm-hmm.
Chicago, and Elmhurst, in terms of the best St. Patrick's Day parades.
Right up there.
Yeah, it's right there. It's, I mean, Elmhurst's parade can look up and see Belfast. It's that close. But anyways.
And you know why they held it that early? There's an explanation.
And what is it?
Well, because they all wanted to be available to go to the Chicago one.
Right, exactly.
If they held at the same time, it's true, like, wait a minute, wait a minute.
That's true.
That we're stuck with just one parade? No, yeah. We want two.
Oh, yeah, it's a month-long celebration. I think there's one in April, too. I think Villa Park has theirs in April.
Well, because, you know, there's another snowstorm coming in the first week of April. You know that.
Oh, I hope
there
not.
Always is.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So, I'm, you know, I on my porch in the back, I have my shovel and my...
Your salt?
My salt.
Okay.
And so, you know, I look at the calendar.
Right.
And, you know, Roger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom.
It is actually meteorological spring right now, Micah. Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And even though the solstice is going to be in a couple of weeks, but yeah, it's meteorological spring. It's really spring. And my coworker here, Bill Snyder, says it's spring. So I'm looking, saying, well, now do I put the shovel away?
No.
Do I put the shovel and the salt away? I'm walking out that back door every day, and I'm looking at the shovel, and now I'm actually seeing my grass for the first time in months.
Yeah, but it doesn't. It's not green.
No,
it's still that dirty.
Yeah, right. But it's been covered in snow.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, I don't know. Talk about. I have to call Tom Skilling to find out what kind of weird weather patterns I have in my yard. He needs to do a satellite shot of my yard. Because there would be 17 different colors. I still had a snowdrift in my yard 3 days ago.
Really?
With all that rain that fell.
Yeah.
And the rising temperatures. A friend of mine came over. He goes, why do you still have snow in your yard? I said, I don't know.
Isn't that where you, like, put all of it?
Well, that might be. You know, in my shoveling, that might have been the area where I dumped most of it.
Yeah.
So perhaps it was. Yeah.
And there's a lot of those, like in these large shopping center parking lots.
There's still some bad, dirty snow around?
There's still, like, a pile in a corner.
Yeah, Micah. Yeah, Joe. Thanks, guys. I love when he does that. Thanks, guys. I love Tom.
He's the best.
I miss talking to him on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I used to love talking to him.
Well, I mean, you can call him up, I'm sure.
I do. He never answers my...
Oops.
He doesn't answer my emails anymore. Who? Elton what?
Who?
Hi, Elton. He used to always say, hi, Elton. No, nothing. Another one bites the dust.
Oh, no.
But, so you don't think it's... I should put my shovel away, huh?
No. Mm. I've got mine handy.
I'm so tempted
right
because
the door, back door. I'm
because
ready to go.
On April 1st,
right.
That's when I officially, I dewinterize. I will.
Think a lot of people do that.
I take the cover off the picnic table.
Okay,
I put the cushions on the chairs on the little.
See, I wouldn't do that yet.
That's oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. You still think we're going to get that April April shock? Because we have had snow.
I know.
In April. No doubt about that.
And I take it from, because I used to have a really nice garden in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And, April 1st is the time you start clearing things out and getting things ready.
Right.
And getting stuff out of storage and putting it back out into
exactly.
the garden.
Exactly. That's what I do.
And everything. But, as soon as I start seeing buds on the rose bush, which unfortunately is long gone now. The week after you would see the buds coming out on the rose bush, boom, 10 above,
yeah, right.
winds, right. yeah. freezing rain, snow.
Yeah, I mean,
it lasts for about 2 days and then start warming up, but then everything's destroyed.
Yeah, there's a part of me that really wants to put the shovels away, because I have to tell you, though, in all honesty, and we should be, while we had that little, polar vortex, it only lasted a couple of days. We have really not had a lot of snow. We had a couple of, we had one major dump early in the year in November. We didn't have any snow in December and January, and we've had a few, 6 and 7 inches some days, and then a few 1 or 2 inches. But I would think that overall this winter, I don't think we've had 40 inches of snow. Do you?
I'm trying to look it up right now.
Yeah, I mean, so we really can't complain. Yes, it was cold, but the polar vortex didn't last 3 weeks. We haven't had below zero temperatures for 2 weeks in a row like we've had at times. So this really has not been a really horrible winter. But it's always long in Chicago. It always starts you know, early and seems to hang around. And here we are in the 40s, which is not bad, but it's certainly not 50 or 60. So there's a part of me that wants to put that shovel away because to me that kind of marks, okay, I'll see you back in November again.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I think you're right. I'll probably have to keep it out. Just for what? You thinking to April?
I'd say middle of April. And wow. Then put everything away. Clean it all out and just start putting the stuff out.
Wow.
So another load up. Here we go.
Yeah, if there's only a device that we
could. I'm looking. Oh, they do it by... crap.
Yeah, because, you know, it's weird. Like you said correctly, because you're a news guy and you're a pro. You said, I asked how much snow have we got so far, and you said you mean this season, which is a key,
right?
Because I don't want to know how much we got this year, because A, the year is only from January,
right?
And then you can't say, well what about into 2018, because then there was snow in January and February and March of 2018, which I don't care about. I'm worried about November of 2018.
All right, well,
through now,
here we go.
So
January
that would be
13th.
The season.
Dear Tom,
yeah,
what is the record lowest snowfall total for a winter season in Chicago? Could we threaten that?
Ah.
And so,
well, Bill Snyder.
Tom Snyder. Absolutely not.
Oh, no.
If the city did not receive another flake for the rest of the winter, this season's nearly 17 inch. Now, again, this is from January 13th, so 13 days into the new year. The 17-inch total to date would far exceed the city's least snowy winter of 1920 through 21, so we were above.
Wow, even then.
Right.
But my point is, so in January, we only had 17 inches.
Well, as of the 13th,
yeah, so,
and then in November, they had 12.7 right. inches.
So I don't think in the last 2 months, we've gotten 25 inches of snow. Do you?
Well, he said they were at January 13th. They were at 16.8 inches for the season.
Right, so my point is, here we are in
20.
Yeah, 20, but not 30
easily.
Or 40. Oh, 20.
Oh, no,
yeah,
no, not 30 or 40.
No. So that's my point. I mean, we can't really complain. We didn't get a lot of snow. We didn't get dumped on for weeks.
Right.
It came and it went. A lot of times it came and it melted. As I said, the cold weather. So you really can't complain about this winter. But I think
what everyone complaining about is the bone-chilling cold that we had twice.
But that was only 2 days at
polar
vortex.
But it was. But once you get it into your body.
Oh yeah, no, I understand what you mean. But we really can't complain.
Times did they have to close the schools?
Right.
Remember?
Yeah,
at least
a couple of days.
2-3 days, yeah. I think, yeah.
But I think overall it's still been a relatively mild winter. I don't think we've been overcome. Like there have been some times that we've gone 2 weeks with below zeros and we have been deluged with snow one after another. And we just have not had that. So anyway, okay, I will leave my shovel out.
Just till like the 14th.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see.
As long as it doesn't get in the way of it.
No, it's not hurting anybody.
All right.
But it is a reminder of winter. That's my point.
Yeah.
It's a psychological thing more than a utilitarian thing.
So when you take the cover off of the
picnic
table,
bench, yeah.
hang it over the shovel, you won't see it.
No, I'm just playing games with myself.
Yes.
Which basically was the whole shovel thing anyway, right?
Yeah.
And it all comes back. See how Roger ties everything up with a nice bow? That's why this man is writing an autobiography. That's why that book has, at this point, 300,000 words, because it's pearls of wisdom like that. What a pro. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. I'm Jim Tirano, filling in for David Plyer here at WGN 720 a.m. It's 4:19. After the quick break, I will tell you about my Toronto's travels, my recent excursion to New York City, and a few celebrity encounters that I had. Right after this, no switching. Jim Tirano with you here at WGN 720 AM, filling in for David Plyer. Be here till 5 AM, and then we pass it off to the Great Outdoors Show, and then the rest of the Sunday morning weekend lineup. And certainly, we will be celebrating the great day of St. Patrick's Day here in the great city of Chicago. There's nothing better than a fish. No, really, I believe it. I think I'd like to see maybe some people going out on the Chicago River someday at lunchtime and
going fishing, as there's nothing better than a fish.
Okay, Mayor.
That's
you.
A real quote, if you remember, mm-hmm. from our good old previous mayor, Richard mm-hmm. J. Daley. We still have not been able to fulfill that wish of his.
Getting close. They have a restaurant that will serve fish.
That's true. There are now restaurants. That's what I meant.
Yes.
I didn't mean I'd go catch a fish.
Yeah.
I mean I'd go get a fish.
Yeah.
Over at one of the restaurants on DeWiver Rock over there.
Probably overpriced.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so very quickly, let me tell you the story. So I go to New York a couple of weeks ago to mm-hmm. see Elton John at Madison Square Garden. And those of you who are regular listeners to me in any way possible, you may remember in Madison Square Garden in October of last year, 2018, Elton John dedicated a song to me.
That's right. I remember
during
that.
The concert.
And somebody recorded it.
Yes. And I have. And the coolest thing, I don't know if you know this. A few weeks after that happened, the video team that that puts together the video during the concert, the feed,
yeah,
they isolated that video from the actual concert that was up on the screen, and so I have that video of him.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. So when I go to Madison Square Garden now, if there are some far corners.
Mm-hmm.
That if you go into a far corner of Madison Square Garden, way up by the nosebleed seats, I still can hear my name echoing from when he said it in Madison Square
Big
Garden.
Big place, huh?
I still hear it. At least I hear it. I don't think anybody else does.
Probably not.
But anyway, so I saw my 191st and 192nd Elton John concerts as we look toward 200, hopefully sometime in the next couple of years, as his current farewell tour will end in 2021, so I'm pretty confident I'll hopefully we'll get that done. But so I saw these two shows, but the interesting thing, the shows were great as usual,
mm-hmm.
but what was really cool is I'm sitting there, first night was a Tuesday night, March 5th, and I'm sitting in my row, and I look down my row, and there's tennis great Billie Jean King.
Wow.
Right down my row. And so it was ironic and kind of surreal because I don't know if many people know this, but Elton's number one song hit, Philadelphia Freedom,
mm-hmm.
is dedicated to and written for Billie Jean King.
Wow.
In the 70s, she had a tennis team. There was a tennis league that they were trying mm-hmm. to start up.
Professional league.
And her team was the Philadelphia Freedoms.
Oh.
And so Elton and Billie Jean were friends, and so he told his lyricist, Bernie Taupin, could you write a song with Philadelphia Freedom in the title? The song obviously has nothing to do with tennis, but that's the title.
Mm-hmm.
And so that became a number one song. And if you go and you can find it anywhere, especially today, use record stores. If you have at home, for you older folks, if you have the vinyl 45 single of Philadelphia Freedom, if you look on the label and if you look on the picture sleeve, it will say dedicated to BJK.
Oh.
That's Billie Jean King.
Yeah.
So it was very surreal because, first of all, hardly anybody in the audience even recognized her. She was right on the aisle, which was, I'm sitting there going, that's Billie Jean King, and nobody's coming up to her. Then there's Elton performing Philadelphia Freedom on the stage.
Okay.
And there's Billie Jean in the audience, singing along.
Now, did Elton do any kind of acknowledgement?
He pointed to her, and he said, Billy, I could see him mouth it, because I was about like the 10th or 11th row.
Okay.
He didn't say anything, on the mic to the...
Right, that you could hear. Right,
right, but okay. I think they made a connection. But it was just kind of cool for me, knowing the history. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, well, what is she thinking, like, right now?
Yeah, right.
Like, thinking back when he first played her the demo.
Yeah.
Because, when he played it for her, he said he was all nervous, and he played it for her before. Ooh. He's like, what do you think? And she's like, he goes, it's not about tennis. And she's like, I don't care. She goes, it's a great song.
Yeah.
So when the show was over, I walked out, and she was right in front of me. And so I just patted her on the back. I said, thank you for Philadelphia Freedom. And she turned and looked at me and smiled. And she said, you're welcome. She had a big smile.
Very
nice. I wanted to acknowledge her for that and that, because I didn't see anybody in the crowd doing that. I'm like, this is Billie Jean King, and there is a connection of that song. So that was cool.
Nice.
So then the next day, on Wednesday, March 6th, there was another concert at Madison Square Garden, but I went to a matinee of the theatrical version of the great, great 1976 movie Network.
Oh, I hear that's excellent.
It's fantastic. Yeah. And Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad plays the lead role of Howard Beale,
mm-hmm.
who has the classic speech.
Right.
I'm as mad as hell. I'm not going to take it.
Open your windows.
I want you to get up now. I want you to get up, and I want you to go to the window, and I want you to scream. And so,
yeah.
And I'll tell you know, that role by Peter Finch is iconic.
Yeah.
That speech is iconic, written by Paddy Chayefsky, the mm-hmm. playwright and the screenwriter. And so, yeah, wow, how do you match that performance? And
it's
difficult. Yeah, and I have to say that Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
And I know that movie back and forth. And if you have Turner Classic Movies, Network will be on this Thursday.
Oh, okay.
So you have a chance to watch it. Please, if you've never seen Network, you owe it to yourself to see this movie.
There's some great speeches in there.
The great speeches, and it was amazingly prescient in what it was predicting about our media and our world. It talked. Mm-hmm. It predicted 24-hour news cable stations 10 years before they started. It predicted reality television.
Mm-hmm.
It predicted just so many kind of media and the onslaught of information and technology and television and mm-hmm. now the internet. Didn't see the internet, but in terms of the visual and these informational outlets influencing mm-hmm. our lives, it's mm-hmm. it's an amazing film. And like I said, but Bryan Cranston really makes the role his own, which is really saying something. I would not be surprised. He won the Olivier Award in London when it ran there. And I will not be surprised in June if he will certainly be nominated for Tony, but I would not be surprised if he wins it. But here's the cool thing. So I'm sitting in the second row because mm-hmm. I knew I was going, and I bought the tickets for this when they first went on sale. So I got this great seat. So I'm right on the aisle in the second row. And right before the play is to start, the usher comes up to me and he says, and I can't even process what he's saying. I don't even understand it because he says it so quick. But he taps me on the shoulder and he says, just so you know, there's a late show seating queue that you may need to get up for.
Huh?
And I don't even know what that means. I'm like, okay.
Late show
seating queue. What does that mean, right?
Well, a queue.
So if you've gone to Broadway shows, you know that there's a waiting list for tickets. Mm-hmm. That if people don't use the tickets that maybe have been kept or house seats,
mm-hmm.
they will sell those to people at the last minute before the show starts. And there's this mad dash of people running to their seats right before the curtain goes up because they just got their ticket. So mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's that because I look in my row and there's me, there's a gentleman, there's a woman, and there's two empty seats.
Ooh.
So I assume that he's talking about, like, right before the show starts,
mm-hmm.
you may have to get up to let these people in.
So, I gotcha. Okay.
Show starts, nothing happens, seats are empty, whatever. No intermission, show is almost over, Bryan Cranston's giving this very deep monologue, and the audience in the theater, it's kind of the audience in the theater now is becoming the audience of his TV show.
Oh, okay.
So he's delivering this speech to us, but he's acting like we're the TV audience.
Gotcha.
He steps off the stage.
What?
And he sits in one of the empty seats.
No way.
I am an arm's length from Bryan Cranston.
Wow.
And he is delivering a monologue sitting in my seat because there's a video camera on him in the seat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge video screen on the stage. So everybody else is watching the video screen
mm-hmm.
of him doing this. But I am literally looking in his eyes an arm's length away.
Wow.
For like 5 minutes. And being an actor, I'm watching this and I'm watching him. I mean, it was mm-hmm. like, it was like a master class.
Sure.
And it was so cool. And we were making eye contact and he was ad-libbing with the woman sitting next to him. And so here's the cryptic message. He was the late show seating queue because when he's done, the lights go down and he's got to get back on the stage.
Sure.
So he, all of a sudden, the lights go down. And he says to the woman next, I got to get out.
So
we had to get up to let him out. So he was the late show seating queue.
I'll be.
So as he walked past me, his name is Howard Beale in the play.
Yeah.
So he walked by and I, pat him on the back and I said, nice job, Howard. And he looked at me and said, thank you. And he walked back because he had to get back on the stage. So that was cool. And then real quick, I know I'm 2 minutes late, but let me get this quick. Next night, so now that's in the afternoon.
Right.
I see Bryan Cranston a foot away from me.
All right.
I go to the next night Elton John concert. Michael Stipe of R.E.M., lead mm-hmm. singer, standing in the row in front of me, in the seat in front of me. for 2.5 hours, I'm watching Michael Stipe of REM sing along with Elton.
Oh,
because he knows all the songs.
Yeah.
So when the show is over, I see him and I say, hey, you know, because they've broken up. I said, hey, we miss you. We need you. He's like, oh, thank you. I said, I want the bootleg of you singing for the last 2.5 hours all the Elton songs. And wow. He's like, yeah, he goes, yeah, thanks. I said, that's the bootleg I want. So in like 48 hours, I had like these three very cool celebrity encounters, and I never expected any of them, and they were all favorites of mine,
mm-hmm.
and they were all fun and very cool. So that's only in New York can that happen.
That's true.
I'm not one of those people. I love New York.
New York or L.A. That's right. Probably the only two places it could happen.
Yeah, so that was very fun. So that's I had a great time, and like I said, saw two great Elton shows as well.
Well, you're at 192.
So and
you've got eight more to go.
Got a few more at the end of this year. He'll be back in the United States. So hopefully in 2020 or 2021, I will hit the 200 mark. So we shall see about
that. That'll be great.
After this news, you go away, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I just want to say thank you. We had a great time. You know that I kid because I love.
I know.
You know that, so please. And people all the time, geez, you're mean to Roger.
No, please.
That's our shtickle.
We get that all the time.
And he knows what shtickle means.
I know what
because we are both Jewish. I'm 3% Jewish. But anyway, so I just want to, before I pass it off to you, I just want to say thank you so much. It's been so great. I've missed talking to you, and I've had a great time this morning. So thank you so much.
Same here, buddy.
It is 4:34, and here's that jerk, Roger Bader.
Ask not.
The Beatles.
Those circuses on the air.
The President doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like a...
That means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny!
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay! Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John has been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in 6 seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
Win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Well, I never thought I would say this, but Bill Curtis, you are incorrect.
You are incorrect, sir.
You are incorrect, sir.
Just so you know, Bill, it is Elton Jim is in today. I did not know that.
So how you doing there, Schwanneroo?
All right. Good morning.
Good to see you.
I guess we're kind of in the middle of our St. Patrick's Day celebration. With the parade, today being the actual day.
Let me ask you there, Dave. Do you have any Irish blood in you?
No.
Not at all.
No, but I do think everybody is a little Irish.
Well, of course they are. That's always been
I've had Irish friends all my life.
That's always been the cliche for those people who aren't Irish. Oh, sure, I'm Irish today.
I've had Irish friends all my life, though.
Oh, yeah, in my parish of St. Bartholomew on the northwest side, like I said, I was overrun with O'Donnells and O'Reillys and Kellys.
Yeah.
You name it. I was in a very Irish... German, Italian, Polish. We were all over the.
You had all kinds of.
Oh yeah, the immigration. We were diverse before it was cool.
Yeah, great.
Yes, and
great.
But you know, as I was telling the listeners here earlier, about a year or so ago, I took an Ancestry.com DNA test, and I came out what I expected. Italian and Polish. I was always raised. You know, my dad was all Italian. My mom was all Polish. So we thought.
Yeah.
Because while 82% came back that way, about 42 and 40, I had another 18 floating around. And sure enough there, Davey.
a little bit of Irish blood in you.
I'm now a 1%er, you know. Yeah, 1% Irish.
And who 3%, knows how that happened?
3% Jewish.
Hokel Schmoke, right?
Yes. There's a poison here now. Me and Roger, we're the same culture now.
I haven't done the DNA test, but we did done some family research. We're very fortunate to have documentation going back several hundred years on my dad's
side.
Oh,
nice.
The ancestors actually wrote up a little memoir.
Oh, you know? Very cool.
And really coming to the conclusion that way back on dad's side of the family, we just kind of all assumed that everybody came from Germany, which they did. But before they came to the United States, they were up in what is now Poland and even Russia.
There you go.
And then came into Germany for whatever reason, and then to the United States.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, if you go back far enough, I mean, you know, all these tribes of people were migrating all over the place.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
To say that I'm 100% this or you know, is really kind of naive.
Yeah.
And to your point, unless someone like your family, which is a great thing to have, was very diligent and documented these things.
Yeah.
So much of this stuff is old wives' tales, is handed down. How much of it is correct or not? So it's really nice to have that documentation because, like I said, when I look at my background, I even had 7% Middle Eastern.
Wow.
Yeah, which I had no clue, but makes sense when you look at the proximity of Italy to the Middle East
it's
and Turkey and things.
Far.
It's right there.
It's
as,
not that far.
As these bands of people were moving and migrating, and even the Jewish side. With my mom's Polish side, most likely that's where that came in.
Yeah.
I don't know where the Irish came in. There's even a 1% Scandinavian.
Hmm. Right.
So me and Leif Erikson, we go way back. But, are you 100% German?
Well, no. I would have to say now, you know, you would have to say some Russian in there.
All right.
And some Polish.
Yeah.
What is now Poland.
Because right, exactly.
It was referred to several hundred years ago as Prussia.
Prussia, right.
Prussia. P-R-U-S-S-I.
When I went to Krakow, which you call Krakow. But those, but
I
that was
go there. That's supposed to
beautiful,
be a beautiful
city. I want to go back there so bad. It's a gorgeous city. And my wife and I went there, and I was in my mom's, my grandfather, who I never met, was born in a town about 45 minutes out of Krakow.
Okay.
But when we went there, I was just completely shocked because I didn't know the full history of how, before World War II, Poland was off the map. Like you said, it was Prussia. There was no Poland.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it was there, and then it was gone.
What it is there now is kind of created,
after World War II.
After it, too, and really World War One.
Well,
and
even then,
two,
but
yes,
yeah.
Most important.
But my gosh, I mean, to think that a whole country and its history was basically just taken off the books.
And yet they had their own culture, their own language, their own traditions.
Yeah.
You know,
so just
Polish is different from Ukrainian, which is different from Russian.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really amazing. As I said, I would encourage people to do that. There's many of those tests out there. Take whichever one you want.
You've got me interested. I've wanted to.
Yeah, you should. It's
now.
So
Maybe
simple. They make it so easy. As I said, you go online, they send you the little box, you put some saliva in a tube. They've got the self-addressed stamped little box. You put the tube back in, you drop it in the mailbox. 6 weeks later, they send you an email. I mean, what more can you ask?
Yeah. With me, though, with my luck, I'll get something back like undetermined.
So and this is a Dave Plyer feature regularly called This Is History, and you and Dave kind of wax poetic on some of the things. And of those who listen to Mr. Schwann as part of the Dean Richards Show, which will be later today, he always does a little bit of history when he does his far-flung news. The far-flung forecast.
Far-flung weather forecast.
Weather forecast in some interesting historical towns that have something to do with the news or something that Dean may be talking about. And I always enjoy to join you and Dean and Andy Mazur. We had a great time at the Presidential Towers last Sunday for the
Lung Association
Fight for Air Climb. And so I always love sitting in with you guys.
You did stay around for the ice cream, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Okay. I stayed around for the pizza.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
yes.
Remember the pizza, too. Yeah, so that was a good time. We had a nice little time there. But so, Dave, you put in a long day. I always thought you just did, like, the Dean Show. I didn't know that you would start on your Sundays at 4:30 or 5.
I start here with Dave. We go through Steve Dale's Pet World.
Oh, my
Rick
goodness.
Pearson's Sunday Spin, and then through Dean's show. So, yeah, we're done.
You have it's almost like a real job. My goodness, Dave. They're working you to the bone here.
Well, having a job is better than having no job.
Well, yes, and I could speak from personal experience on that, David.
I can too, actually.
Yeah, no kidding.
We've all been there.
Yeah. But This Is History is a regular feature, so the producer today, and Dave Plyer was nice enough to hand this off, so we are going to do this today, and Curtis Koch, our producer, put
good
these
morning,
together.
Curtis. Good morning, Schwani. How are you, man?
I'm doing well.
And
good.
So why don't we take a little stroll, if you would? And I'll make you just feel at home, okay, Schwani? You ready?
I'm ready.
Today's This in History weather forecast. No. St. Patrick's Day, while not a legal holiday in most of the United States, is nonetheless widely recognized and celebrated throughout the country. March 17th is officially recognized as Evacuation Day.
Evacuation Day?
Yeah. In parts of Massachusetts. And St. Patrick's Day is an official holiday in Chatham County, Georgia.
Hmm.
I didn't know that. Did you know that, Dave?
No, I didn't.
Neither did I.
Here's one closer to home. Mayor Richard J. Daley in 1956 moved what was the Southtown Irish Parade into the city of Chicago and then christened it the Chicago St. Patrick's Day Parade.
So it would is that the Southside Irish Parade?
I guess. Well, it was at that time. It must have been just a Southside Parade, and now there's obviously another one. So, but because
there's a Northside Parade too.
Right now there is one, but at that time, I guess there was just a parade there. There wasn't an official Chicago St. Patrick's Day Parade until our good mayor. Oh, there's nothing like a fish. Richard J. Daley in 1956. So, you know, think about that. That's not all that old. That's only 60-year tradition here.
We're going to have this parade here today.
Yeah. Oh, geez. We're going to be walking down the street.
This parade.
Everybody is Irish on St. Patrick's Day. And since 1961, that is how long we've been dying the Chicago River.
61?
61.
Really? I remember the first time I saw that. I had been in Chicago for about a year.
Wow.
And someone said, hey, you know, they're dyeing the river green.
And you're like, what?
And we looked down, and sure enough, I thought, wow.
How
this
funny.
Is really something. But you know what? In the last few years, though, it seems to me that it's a much brighter green. Than
yes, it
is.
Yes. It used
past.
To, yes. It used to be a dirty green.
Yeah.
But yeah,
this,
now
you know,
yeah,
it's
they
like
yeah,
a lime green.
Yeah,
really
they've definitely boosted up the color. Yeah, you could see that from the moon.
You could see.
I mean,
they saw it on the space station.
Yes. Yeah, you could. Hi there, it's Tom here. Look at this. You know, this is not even a satellite view of snow. That's our river.
That's our river.
Wow, back to you, Micah. In 1790, here's one of my this is the stuff that I love. In 1790, the first shoelaces were invented.
And what did we have before that?
Slip-ons. 1790, Harvey Kennedy invented the shoelace.
Paid for them.
And here's the thing. Before its invention, leather, cotton, and hemp were used to fasten shoes and sandals.
Okay.
He made over $2.5 million from the patent.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear he got
yes,
paid for
he did.
It, you know, instead of getting ripped off for an invention that we take for granted.
Right. Now, here's one that's cool. In 1958, and I have a connection to this, Elvis Presley joined the Army on this date in 1958. And the connection is that Elvis and I share a birthday, January 8th.
Oh, you have the same birthday?
Same birthday as January 8th.
Wow.
So let's play a little tape from Elvis joining the Army.
Elvis Presley no longer has that rock and roll beat. The tempo is 1, 2, 3, 4 for Private Presley. He's at Camp Chaffee, Arkansas, beginning his 2-year Army hitch courtesy of the Memphis Draft Board. Like any ex-civilian raw recruit, the king of rock and roll will be keeping time to non-hip bugle calls. Involuntarily retired, the gyrating guitarist's departure from the public eye left his blue jean fans all shook up, so we hear. But Elvis doesn't seem to mind at all.
And that's the way it was.
I think during that, at least part of that newsreel, they showed him actually getting a haircut.
Yeah, I remember seeing
the,
that.
The
yeah.
buzz cut, so he looked like Sergeant Carter on
When he came back, many music fans and rock fans think that Elvis really changed. He wasn't really a rocker anymore. In fact, one of John Lennon's famous quotes was, "Elvis died in the army."
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he came back, he started making all those...
What John Lennon said?
Yeah, because, you know, he came back, he made all those Hollywood movies, and his edge was kind of gone. So Lennon said, yeah, Elvis died in the army. And we don't have too much time, but I want to play this one, because I actually remember seeing this moment in history. I witnessed it via television on Channel 9 in the good old days. In 1972, you want to skip ahead? I want to go to the Bobby Hull one. In 1972, Bobby Hull became the second NHL player to score 600 goals.
Pitt Martin on the right side. Left wing pass to Dennis Hull. And Dennis hurries in, leaves it for Bobby. Shot! Score! Oh! National Hockey League goal!
I remember watching that live on Channel 9.
Was that Lloyd Pettit doing
that? I think that may have been Jim West.
Jim West, okay.
Yeah,
That didn't quite sound
No, that
like
was
Lloyd.
Jim West. He did the TV in the 70s, and I'll never forget. And in fact, if you heard it right there, Dennis Hull, good old number 10 at that time on the Blackhawks, he did a backhand pass to his brother, so he got an assist on that goal. So Dennis Hull was on the line. It was the MPH line with Pitt Martin, Dennis Hull, and Bobby Hull. And he did a backhand pass to Bobby, and Bobby cranked it right past Gary Cheevers of the Boston Bruins. I will never forget that. One of the coolest nights.
1972.
A 8-year-old Elton Jim was watching the Blackhawks there.
Not quite graduated from high school yet.
Didn't graduate from high school yet.
I was just 2 years away.
Just started grammar school, in fact. But yes, I have been a Blackhawks fan for a long time. I remember watching that as clear. I can close my eyes right now and see Dennis Hull give this backhand pass, and Bobby cranks it from the point. Boom, right past Gary Cheevers, number 600. Very cool. So, thank you, Shwani, for playing around. I'm going to go to...
Anytime.
Good to see you, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
Yeah,
somewhere,
yeah.
somehow. Somewhere, some way.